I want to call to order the, and welcome everyone to the West Lafayette Community School Corporation Regular Meeting Board of School Trustees. We have a presentation for those of you who may not know in the front end, so we will have some seats opening up for those that are still coming in. We have some folks in the hallway that don't have seats. Approval of the agenda for tonight's December 6, 2021 meeting. I need a motion, please. Moved by Mr. Schott, second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Approval of the minutes of the November 1st, 2021 regular meeting of the Board of School Trustees.
Move approval.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion or any additions or corrections?
Just a comment.
Yes.
And I appreciate that the minutes right now has more details and more information than before, and I think it's very helpful.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other discussion? Thank you, Dr. Yin. Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Unfinished business. I have none. New business. We'll start Shelby and Red Devil Pride. You're first.
Good evening, everyone. At this time, we'd like to recognize the students who have won the Westside Way to Go Award recipients. This award was created to recognize students who have exemplified good citizenship qualities, which are basic to the school district's mission. There's two students that are selected from each school. They're selected by their teachers and administrators. And at this time, we'll start with Mr. Schreiner for the high school. After your name has been announced, if you could stay up here so I can get a picture, and then tomorrow I'll email the pictures to parents.
Okay, I'll go. Hello, good evening. I'm Ron Schreiner, principal at the junior senior high school. And I want to recognize two students from our school tonight. First is Jory Meister. Jory can come on up. This is the embarrassing part. Not really. So you just have to stand there and just stand there. So just to explain, each the students were nominated by a teacher. I don't always know who the teacher is, but I always try to guess, but I won't do it for you, Jory. But here are the comments from the teacher who nominated Jory. Jory is a gold star human being. Jory is positive and kind to all. She works well with others. It goes out of her way to make all feel included. I can always depend on Jory to be a helper in class if needed. Can you guess what it is? I don't know. She shows maturity and responsibility through both her actions and words. The best part is that Jory does all of this with a smile on her face every day, even with a mask on. And I can tell that she is still smiling. She brings so much positivity and sunshine to our school. So some wonderful comments. Congratulations. And our next honoree from the junior senior high school is Jackson Gustis, who's a senior. Come on up. And Jackson, I could have written one of these myself, but this is a great one too from one of your teachers. He is one of the hardest workers at West Lafayette Junior Senior High School. He takes every assignment, project, and test very seriously, ditto for athletic events. He puts his heart and soul into everything. When challenged by academic material that is difficult or other obstacles, Jackson perseveres until he meets his goals. He is committed to treating every person he encounters with the highest level of respect. As a member of Westside Unified, he seeks ways to involve all students in social events, and he seeks ways to help others be the best they can be. So thank you, Jackson.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Margaret Sars, the principal at West Lafayette Intermediate, and I also have two amazing students to talk about tonight. Kaya Pugh, would you please come up with her wonderful sparkling mask? Kaya has been an amazing student to have in class, according to Mrs. Robinson. Every single day, she has shown up with a bright smile and hardworking attitude. She has been intentional at befriending new students and has made her classroom into a welcoming place for others. Her teacher often catches her explaining directions to someone in need of help. She's always the first to jump up if someone drops something or spills. Literally every time Mrs. Robinson gives directions, she has her eyes on her and immediately begins to do as she's asked with a cheerful attitude. She gives her best effort even when things are difficult. She is a shining example of what West Lafayette students should be, and we're proud to have her at Willis. Reagan always makes good choices. She is a model student. Most importantly, she is an amazing citizen. She watches out for those in need and is patient while offering a helping hand. She encourages her classmates during book clubs. She noticed two of her members struggling with organization and keeping up with the assignments. She took it upon herself to quietly and kindly help them gather their materials so they could begin their meeting promptly. During the book clubs, she showed leadership skills by encouraging others when they needed extra assistance and time to complete the tasks. Reagan is a kind and caring friend to all of her classmates, and her teachers appreciate her hard work, motivation, and kindness toward others. Congratulations.
Hello, I'm Amber Taggart. I'm the principal at the elementary school. Miss Olive, come on up here. We get to celebrate two students as well tonight. I'd like you to meet Olive. Olive is in Mrs. Dale's class in kindergarten. She is a kind and respectful student. She always helps clean up after a spilled crayon box or assists her classmates with anything they may need. She is a great role model for the class and for all of West Lafayette Elementary School. Let's celebrate Olive. And William, come on up. William McKinney is a second grader in Mrs. Fry's classroom. We are excited to say, and Mrs. Fry shared, that it is a pleasure to see William every day. He works very hard, is kind, and is a friend to all. He is a good listener, and he is always willing to help. He's a pleasure to have in class, and we are all grateful to have a student like William. Let's celebrate William.
Thank you. For those of you that have been celebrated, you're welcome to stay, but if you want to go, by all means, this would be a good time to take off. So thank you. And for those that are standing, go ahead and replace it. We're going to get the board, any board members that would like to take a second, we're going to walk down, get a couple chairs and make sure everybody's seen. Why don't we do that? Now to the new business superintendent search update, and Dr. Springer, the floor is yours.
And the search process. So I'm going to restate my monthly school board meeting reports. At the May 3rd regular school board meeting, Dr. Rocky Killian announces his intent to retire June 30th, 2021. Throughout the rest of May, the board researches four superintendent search consulting firms and interviews two. At the June 2nd regular school board meeting, the board appointed administrator assistants as the superintendent search consultant and appointed Ross Sloat as acting superintendent July 1 through 31st, 2021. Late June, the superintendent search tab is created on the West Lafayette Community School Corporation home webpage. All documents pertaining to the search, plus a timeline to be posted here. At the July 12th special board meeting, the board appointed retired superintendent Mike Pettibone as interim superintendent effective July 20th, 2021. July 23rd, superintendent vacancy announcement and application posted on the corporation website, posted under the superintendent search tab, and distributed nationwide by administrator assistants. August 9th, superintendent qualities questionnaire posted on the corporation website and under the superintendent search tab. The board is seeking the community's input on desired qualities they want in the next superintendent. Notification of this online questionnaire was emailed to all teachers, staff, administrators, and parents, plus press releases to local media, plus postings on social media. August 23rd, two public forums held at the West Lafayette Intermediate School Cafe to receive verbal input on qualities desired in the next superintendent. The 5:30 p.m. forum was for school personnel, and the 6 o'clock p.m. forum was for parents, students, and community members. Late August, the American Association of School Administrators article entitled Superintendent Searches, Public or Confidential, posted under the Superintendent Search tab and referred to in succeeding monthly board meetings. Two quotes from that article. Confidentiality is the item of highest priority to candidates who are highly successful and well-regarded in their current positions. Next quote, most candidates who are highly successful in their current positions cannot aggressively seek a new post in a non-confidential search without damaging their capacity to lead and their status in their current roles. August 26, the compiled superintendent qualities questionnaire is posted under the superintendent search tab, along with the frequency distribution of respondents. 438 submissions were compiled into the top 12 qualities requested in the next superintendent. The frequency distribution of respondents show 305 respondents, or 69.6%, were parents of current West Lafayette Community School Corporation students. August 27, application submissions closes. 17 applications received. In the next 2 weeks, first round interview questions were developed using question banks from administrator assistants in the Indiana School Board Association, plus questions directly pertaining to the superintendent quality questionnaire, plus questions suggested from all board members. September 13th through the 22nd, school board conducts first round interviews with 7 candidates. Over the next 2 weeks, more complex and thought-provoking second-round interview questions developed, honing in on all aspects of a superintendent's job, the top 12 qualities the public wants in the next superintendent, current issues facing the West Lafayette Community School Corporation, and future issues facing the West Lafayette Community School Corporation. Questions came again from administrator assistants, the Indiana School Board Association, unused first round interview questions, from additional questions submitted from all board members, plus second round interview questions from the 2007 superintendent search. October 20th through November 4th. School board conducts second round interviews with 4 candidates. November 15, final 2 candidates continue to request confidentiality, but agree to third round interviews with administrators. Let me repeat that. November 15, final 2 candidates continue to request confidentiality, but agree to third round interviews with administrators. November 18th, the school board reaches a consensus on a preferred potential candidate. Let me make clear, all 7 board members were fully present and fully participated in all board meetings throughout the superintendent search process. December 3rd, Pursuant to Indiana law, the notice of public hearing on the proposed superintendent contract is published in the Journal and Courier and is posted on the corporation website. This notice includes a compensation and benefits summary. The full copy of the proposed contract is also posted on the corporation website. December 13, pursuant to Indiana law, the public hearing on the proposed superintendent contract will be held at 5 o'clock p.m. at the Happy Hollow Building, right here. December 20th, pursuant to Indiana law, a special meeting of the Board of School Trustees will be held at 5:30 p.m. at the Happy Hollow Building, again, here in this room, to do two things, to vote on the contract and then vote on the candidate. I would like to finish up with a few more comments about confidentiality. I repeatedly spoke of the importance of candidate confidentiality at monthly school board meetings and referred all to the AASA article on the confidentiality posted on the superintendent search tab. Of the 17 initial applicants, 9 were sitting superintendents who had asked for confidentiality throughout the entire search process. The board fully intends to honor that request. Honoring a confidentiality request is acting with integrity and is simply an honest and ethical business practice.
Thank you, Dr. Springer. Tom Austin, you're here, also from Administrator Assistance. I don't know that you have anything to add to the process, but you obviously have been our consultant all along, with the fact that this process dating all the way back. Do you have anything to add from your perspective? Yeah, you may, sir.
I want to compliment Dr. Springer when she focused on the importance of confidentiality. Because in all the searches that I've done, which is about 15, that has been a constant theme working with school boards across the state. So I commend this board for underscoring the importance of doing that. I also want to make sure the people in the audience know this was one of the strongest group of applicants that Gibb Crimmins and I have ever seen in the search that we've conducted. So I just want you to know that the board did their due diligence, they complied with board policy and the statutory expectations that Dr. Springer outlined. And finally, my comment would be, it's been an absolute great pleasure working with this board in your search for your next district meeting. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that. Okay, we'll move on now to communication from the audience for agenda items. And we have 3 people signed up to speak to agenda items. And so I'll start with Mary Dell Forbes. And yeah, do you want to just approach that, please? Thank you.
I did have 3 people who had signed up before me for non-agenda if they wanted to speak.
No, they'll speak at that part at the end of the meeting. Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to speak. Transparency. Who wouldn't want it? It sounds like a fantastic thing. Get all your cards on the table. I see lots of signs here asking for transparency. Make sure everybody knows what's going on so there's no speculation or no innuendos. However, that's not the best practice in all cases. Recently in English, we concluded a unit on Animal Farm. And we learned about propaganda and the ways people are manipulated. One of those ways is through using words called general or glittering generalities. Words like freedom or transparency. Sometimes we have to give up freedom in exchange for security. Sometimes we have to give up transparency in exchange for the best candidate. There are really good, valid reasons that we need to keep a process such as this confidential. First of all, we'd have fewer applicants if we wanted to get the top applicants to apply. They want to ensure their job security. They don't want to have to go back to their school corporations and get flack from people who are wondering why they want to leave. Also, I like to joke that we'd have exactly two applicants, one fired superintendent and perhaps another administrator who just got credentials from Amazon.com University. We wouldn't have anybody, potentially. So the other thing worth noting is that some people have wondered, well, why are you doing this in the middle of the school year? Well, process during the middle of the school year has some distinct benefits. Our contract is done. The candidates can get to know our school system without being super busy, and then the budget wouldn't be coming into play until the summer. So speaking of transparency, Dr. Springer went through the timeline. This board has been exceedingly transparent about the process. They've articulated the reasons that they are doing things. They've invited you, the public, to share what they're looking for. I found it interesting that at one of the public meetings, what was it, three or four people showed up? It makes me wonder about the vocal minority who would rather complain than contribute to the process. So just wanted to take this opportunity to thank the board, thank Dr. Springer, thank Board President Alan Karpik. We teachers appreciate the hundreds of hours of time you have spent and devoted to this process for doing your due diligence. We trust, which is why we elected you, that you have made the best decision in the best interest of our community, and we look forward to your announcement. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Lily, and I don't pronounce your last name correctly, but Lily, if you're here, go ahead.
Angie, would you like to speak before me? I signed up in non.
Yeah, she signed up for non-agenda, I believe.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Lily Chia. I'm a parent with two children in the West Side schools. Now, first of all, I want to thank all the board members. I know you spent a lot of time with the search, interviews, reviewing applications. We do appreciate your time and effort. I would like to speak 2 points today. The first one is the confidentiality, which has been mentioned a lot of time today. Here I quote President Karpik when he was interviewed. He said, many of our 17 total candidates are sitting superintendents. They didn't want their school board to know they were applying elsewhere. This is a common practice for superintendent selection processes. I'd like to say this might be true 20, 30 years ago, but culture has changed. I would like to use an example of Dr. Rocky Killian, who was the former superintendent of West Lafayette Community School, which the board, and including President Karpik, speaks very high of. I'm going to use him as an example to show culture has changed. On April 26, 2015, Journal of Courier released a news that Superintendent Killian was a finalist to be the superintendent for Berkeley County School District in South Carolina. President Karpik confirmed he knew that Killian was going to interview for the position and had spoken with Killian before the news was released. Killian got a raise afterwards, which was completely reasonable. And this culture has changed. Many people use that as a practice for self-promotion. So in this case, the board knew former Superintendent Killian was interviewed. So the confidentiality, again, I want to emphasize culture has changed. My second point is about our process. Here again, I quote President Carbick. He said, when he was interviewed, "I can't speak to what other processes like, but our process works well." Well, many Indiana school boards like Indianapolis, Crown Point, Bloomington, those are excellent schools. They released final candidates' names in their superintendent search, meaning even live streamed the interview process. I understand we're going to have a public hearing next week, but that's the minimum requirement by Indiana law. Right? Can we do better than that? Just have that public meeting next week to discuss the contract. Can we follow better approaches by many other excellent schools? Now look at our community. Our school ranks top in the state. We have highly educated parents who are devoted, who care so much about our school. Can we involve them more in the process to ensure we select the best candidate for this position? Can we do better? Can we pursue excellence in many areas, including the superintendent search, so that we can ask our students to pursue excellence academically? Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Lily. Next up is Lisa Mills. Thank you, Lisa.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa Mills, and I've been a resident in West Lafayette for 21 years. I have raised two children through the school system and then eventually was hired here, and I'm in my 18th year right now. So I love this community, as I think all of us in here do, because we care about what happens. We care about the schools that our children go to. We care about the futures that we provide for them and the opportunities that we give them. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in West Lafayette schools and if I didn't believe in this board. I have worked here, as I said, for 18 years. Over half that time, I have been on the discussion team. I sit with these people, or different various members of them, once a month, and we talk about what's happening in our schools. The teachers bring their concerns, the board hears them, the administrators weigh in. It is an open discussion for us as members who care about this community. So I want to first say that I value these people and I value their professionalism. We elected them to manage our schools. We elected them and entrusted them because we value what they bring and what they're committed to. That they're as committed to our school system as all of we are. And in fact, looking up through this at this board, many of them have children. I've taught many of their children. In fact, I think I've taught almost all of your children. But anyway, getting back to this, I just want to say how important it is that we provide for them the support. When Mrs. Springer or Dr. Springer was reading through what they have done, at one of the meetings, I think there were three people who came to speak. They were ready. They sat and waited for another 20 minutes for people to come because they wanted to hear from our community and to make sure that all concerns were heard. I don't think there's anything happening behind closed doors with cloak and daggers, and I think they are trying to weigh the opinions and the concerns that all of us have to the best of their ability. But when push comes to shove, and we have 17 candidates that have to be whittled down, and they have to ask hard questions, I would hope that this community will get behind the board and will support them and will honor the hard work that they have done, the hours that they have had. Come to these board meetings. I would love to see this many people at every board meeting to hear about the business of the school and what's happening, to get involved. Because believe me, as teachers, we can use all the help that you want, are willing to provide. At the same time, I also want to say that we honor you, and we feel honored to be able to teach your children, that you entrust with us your children's education. And so I guess what I'm asking is I would hope that you would do the same thing for the board, and that we as a community will come together and that we'll get behind whoever is presented as the next superintendent.
Okay, we'll move on to property insurance renewal, and Mr. Olhoff, your floor is yours.
Thank you. Today we're asking your approval of the renewal of our property insurance, property and casualty insurance. And just a brief summary of this, the premium this year, or upcoming year, is a total of $209,926. And again, this covers our property and casualty. The carriers for all the policies are the same, largely Astra, except for we have a new carrier for cyber liability. We used our premium there, about $1,300. And we also were able to get a premium reduction due to our good rating for workers' compensation. So again, we ask for a motion to approve the renewal of our property and casualty insurance.
Need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion or questions, please? Any comments? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Thank you, Steve. COVID update, and Mr. Pettibone.
Yes, I just simply wanted to give a quick COVID update to let you know that this continues to be on our active radar. If you were aware, several weeks ago, the day before Thanksgiving, the Indiana legislature was set to have a discussion on possibly changing some of the governor's rules. Thank you to the legislator for not having that. We were concerned about that, but in preparation for that, we had arranged for a possible Zoom meeting with our two doctors, administration, several of the board members to react if that were to take place. Again, what I want to say to you, thank goodness that did not take place. Our governor continues to be proactive, and he has extended the COVID mandates and suggestions that he has had for another month. We have shared that with our two physicians, and we are looking. We did receive a note from the Indiana Department of Health in regards to the changing variant, and it basically says this at this point, and we will continue to look at this and address it. Says continue to utilize all possible mitigation strategies to protect your students and staff against not only COVID-19, but other viruses as well. But I want to compliment this community, first of all, and I want to compliment this board that we have not had the silly discussions of mask or no mask. From the very beginning, this board and this community has said, we will be masked in our schools. And that has been a huge support for us. We keep an eye on the number of cases coming out of our districts, out of our schools every week. Last week, the week before, there were 4 cases reported and addressed. This last couple of weeks, we had 8 cases, 4 being students, 4 being staff members. And so we are continuously watching this. I had a conversation with one of the building principals this morning, and we talked about the number of students who were absent. But I also think you heard this comment from the Department of Health, is that this is also cold and flu season. So we are not confirming all of those absences, of course, involved with that. What I want to say is that we will actively watch these numbers. We'll continue to be masked. We'll continue to follow the quarantines guidance and protocols of the governor. And but I just wanted to make sure that I wanted to share that this is not something that we're thinking is going to disappear. And I appreciate the staff, again, you know, I'm saying that appreciating the community supporting this, but also the staff in making sure that continues to happen in our schools.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I wanna thank our staff. I know our school nurses, we have one of them here, Mrs. Bangs, that have done a job that has been thankless, and also certainly our two physicians that have been involved as well. And I can only imagine our teachers and staff and what they've had to deal with to try to keep our kids safe. So we're grateful for everyone's work on that process, because it's extremely important, as we all know, and it is unfortunately still ever changing, and we will adjust and do what's right by kids and for the safety of our kids as we move forward. So thank you, Mike. Personnel report, and Mr. Pettibone.
Yes, just simply asking for a motion from the board to approve the personnel report and request as presented in your package.
Okay, thank you very much. Need a motion, please?
Moved
by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Austin. Discussion, questions?
I have some question or suggestion. And may I say that? Okay. I observed the frequent changes of our staff members in the past year, and I don't have the personnel data of the neighboring districts or similar districts as a reference to compare. I also understand that the staff turnover is actually a common problem these days due to the labor shortage in the pandemic. But I wonder whether we can do something to improve the stability of the staff members. First, can we analyze the exit survey? I understand there are some exit interview going on, but I'm not sure exactly who did the interview and so on, all those details. But I think it would be helpful to figure out the reasons for their leavings, and like how many of these actually are due to some family issues such as relocation or some other issues. And second, can we come up with some strategies to reduce the personnel change? For example, better compensation, increased sense of belongings, or providing more recognition of our hardworking staff members, especially those who are behind the scenes, such as those food service staff members, transportation staff members, and lunch supervisor, even the crossing guards who stand in the cold every morning to protect our kids. And many of them are really unsung heroes. And in my current institution, we recognize staff members who worked with our college for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and so on. Can we do something similar to recognize our hardworking staff members in the future? Just a suggestion.
I appreciate your comments. This is just a personnel report, but I think that those are all things that we are working on and trying to address, but I appreciate your comments, Dr. Yen. All in favor of the motion, please say aye. And opposed? Hearing none, this motion does carry. Accounts payable, and to Mr. Olhoff.
We ask your approval for the accounts payable this month in the amount of $3,603,630.29, including payroll of $1,061,781.79, payroll deductions $482,440.53, other claims of $1,173,238.02, WEVEC claims $61,900.15, and construction projects $824,269.80. Among the claims this month include a $37,000 payment to Trinity Financial Services, which is a lease of computer equipment over the next 4 years. It's an annual payment. Many of the claims are standard for this month. That's the main one that would be different. We ask your approval for the claim.
Okay, approval to pay our bills. I need a motion, please.
I'll move. Second.
Moved by Mr. Schott, second by Mr. Marley. Okay, discussion or questions, please?
Questions?
All in favor of the motion to pay our bills for accounts payable, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing nothing, remember that motion does carry. All right, board and superintendent reports. I'll go around the horn for any committee meetings. And Dr. Yin, I'll start with you, if that's okay. If you have anything to report from any meetings you've been to in the last month.
I attended the award recognition of the Public School Foundation and meeting.
Public School Foundation?
Yeah, gotcha. Right. And the 8 TS teachers got awards this semester.
Okay. Mr. Schott?
For West Lafayette Schools Foundation, good news just from last week. They received $5,000 as part of Giving Tuesday. That money will go for student scholarships, teacher grants, the backpack program. Speaking of teacher grants, they awarded 6 grants across all 3 schools for this fall semester, totaling a little over $4,000. Alumni Wall of Pride, the class of 2023 has been selected, will be announced in the spring. The current existing display of plaques, each of those plaques will be moved in more close proximity to where the honoree area of expertise lies, and they will replace the current space inside the main doors there on Grand Street with an interactive touchscreen display that'll be created. And then the early returns on the March 26, 2022 Scarlet and Gray Gala is very positive, both from a fundraising and also interest for a turnout standpoint. So a lot of good things going on with the foundation.
Thank you. What?
Policy committee is just starting to take a look at the fall updates, spring and fall updates. And so we haven't gotten into the meat of it yet, but we are starting to get that organized.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, Dr. Springer.
So from the park board, the Riverside Skating Center was able to open for the season the day after Thanksgiving. It will be open weather permitting. Check the Parks and Rec website for hours and pricing. The holiday farmers market was held the day before Thanksgiving at the Wellness Center. More than 30 vendors participated. This Wednesday, December 8th, from 5 to 7, there's going to be an open house at the Wellness Center. This is a second community forum. It'll be an open house format, as I said, on the master plan process. So in the first community forum, and there was a community survey, focus groups, different goals have been developed from the input. And now the community, or the public community, will be given an opportunity to give their input on these goals. The GLASS governing board meeting was held on Tuesday, November 16. GLASS has applied for 2 grants for the American Rescue Plan funding dollars. The preschool grant has already been approved for $103,000. The $1.3 million school age grant has not been approved yet, but likely will be. And the focus of both grants is learning loss, social-emotional learning, behavioral remediation. And September 30th, 2023 is the deadline for spending these funds. Rachel alluded to the policy committee. Most of the policy updates contain minor revisions simply to reflect new state law. And the committee is hoping to bring some of those revised policies to the full board in, we hope, February.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Springer. My updates are a couple things. One, Dr. Springer historically has gathered names for our next month's organizational meeting for board officers, should you be interested, or have, I guess you want them to just to provide
you. I'll send an email.
Send an email out, just require, just asking who'd be interested in serving in those roles, and she's done that. We'll deal with that in the next month's meeting. Also, did have just at the basis initial tours of our athletic facilities and some of the with Mr. Schreiner and with Joel Strode and some other board members have been involved with those as well, beginning to look at that as a need for our, and this is at the high school, for the district in terms of improving those areas, and that process has just begun. We just had an initial tour. Mr. Marley, you're next.
Leading with negotiations, I just want to say how smooth the process was and how much we enjoyed working with the WLEA to come to an agreement that, in my estimation, is probably one of the best increases we've had in my memory serving on our board, which is a good thing. It's needed and well-deserved. The other thing is, if you haven't noticed, well, it's impossible not to notice, but Salisbury Avenue has become Orange Barrels Avenue, and that is the street improvement project with the improvement of the pathways that are going to make it much nicer for our students, faculty, and staff to get back and forth to school. From Salisbury, we'll go down Grant Street, and when we finish that, we're going to start on Yeager Road, and Yeager Road is going to get connected. So a real nice trail system already in greater West Lafayette and Lafayette, and there's more coming, so stand by and drive slowly.
Austin, go ahead.
Mr. Schott summed everything up nicely.
Thank you. Communication from the audience, non-agenda items, and I believe first on the list is Troy James. I didn't ask last time, just Troy, which just state where you live. Sure. Give your actual address to say you live in whatever housing area that you live in. Good. I apologize.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
My name is Troy James. I live on Virginia Road.
Perfect.
In West Lafayette. I'd like to thank Mr. Pennybone for his update on COVID. I think that the schools have done a great job in dealing with COVID, and I'm very appreciative of the way things have gone there. That doesn't mean, however, that there are not areas where we could do better. Parents and other constituents want their voices to be heard by the school board and the administration. In the recent Virginia governor's race, candidate Terry McAuliffe said that parents shouldn't be telling schools what to do. Mr. McAuliffe lost the election, with some attributing the loss to his statement that echoes sentiments that we feel come quite often from the school administration and board. Like parents in Virginia, we believe that our voices should be heard by the school board and the administration. We hope the new superintendent will be open to community involvement that extends beyond our wallets. However, as I said, there are things that we could change. For example, we need a change in the school corporation's legal representation. WLCSC pays too much in legal expenses and is not served well by the legal advice being received. Over the last 12 months, WLCSC paid Bob Riley's law firm over $300,000 in legal fees. We spend far more on legal expenses than corporations identify as peers. For example, Carmel Clay Schools paid just over $200,000. Calendar 2020. Noblesville, $185,000. Zionsville, $90,000. These school corporations spend $12 to $17 per student. We spend $125, 10 times more. Why are our legal expenses so high? For one, the hourly rate paid to Mr. Reilings for may be higher than other school corporations pay. For another, the administration and board may be using legal representation more aggressively than other school corporations. As to hourly rates, Mr. Ryland was paid $290 per hour and $500 for attending this meeting each month. Is that higher or lower than other school corporations? I don't know, but I suspect you don't either. Maybe we should find out. In discussions on social media, some have suggested that we don't want to sacrifice quality for lower fees. While that is true, I'm not sure that the legal advice being received by the school district is always of high quality. Mr. Ryland seems to be one of the driving forces in keeping information from the community. For example, the board and the administration routinely deny community requests for public information. This summer, the state's public access counselor found that the board acted improperly in denying access to information regarding the DEI committee. Following the decision, Mr. Ryland, who represented WLCSD in the matter, said that the public access counselor was wrong and it will not change how the corporation operates. Indeed, recent public records requests by Patreon have been met with continued stonewall. Another thing to consider is that many of our peer corporations utilize multiple law firms, suggesting the single law firm may not have the expertise to handle all the issues faced by a school corporation. For these reasons, I encourage the board and the administration, prior to the renewal of the legal contract at the next board meeting, to consider legal representation that better meets the needs of the school corporation and the community. Finally, I often hear a radio ad that states that public school teachers use an average of $500 of their own money to buy school supplies. If we were to lower our legal expenses by just $80,000, we can make sure that our teachers don't have to do that, and the school district would be no worse off financially. Thank you.
Angela James.
My name is Angie James, and I also live on Virginia Road. I am a parent of a freshman and two survivors of West Washington. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. I love our community. I love the response that you are showing here in your concern and care for the matters that affect our school. I want to thank Lee for her thoughtful comments and Jill's comments. In the June board meeting, we were assured by Mr. Whitmore from the administrator's consent that the superintendent search would be transparent. And I quote, it will be a transparent process. There will be no hidden agenda. It will be the board's responsibility to decide how they want to get some input from the community. I'm assuming to work out a forum or whatever the board wants to get input from the public or from the teachers. You will get the opportunity to put your two cents in people at the work. Please be assured it will be transparent. You will know what's going on. You will have input. In fact, however, the board opted to reject the decision presented by their own search firm and instead posted an article in favor of confidentiality and secrecy. The superintendent search data on the website, our only official source of information, lay dormant for months from September until just recently. They conducted a survey which garnered a great response, but no effort was made to indicate they did anything other than disregard it. Tonight is the first I've heard that 12 qualities were identified. I would love to know what those qualities are. Board claims that confidentiality is essential in attracting quality and fighting candidates. Did they gather data to support that claim? As we mentioned, Dr. Killian participated in a public superintendent search in South Carolina a few years ago, which resulted in a raise from the current school board. And interim superintendent Pettibon has participated in at least one public search as well. Board President Carpenter told the Journal and Courier this week, no sitting superintendent in their right mind would choose transparency out of concern for how that knowledge would affect current employment. But I contend being considered a finalist in a top school district is an honor and could in fact result as it did for Dr. Killian in an increase in pay for at least respect. For example, prior to the leaking of Dr. Alicia Clevenger's position as finalist, I was unaware of her accomplishments. Now I recognize her as a stellar leader in our community. I have read multiple descriptions celebrating her accomplishments, including working with diverse types of students from special needs to high ability, as well as her willingness to collect input from others to inform her decisions. I imagine such a highly qualified administrator is more likely to face congratulations with the office than the bleak professional picture painted by the off-cited article on the website. In the end, I contend that the best candidate is hired when its community is engaged and informs the vote of its representative school board members. It's a shame to squander that opportunity. Briefly, I also want to follow up on Troy James' comment regarding the high cost and low value of our current legal counsel. I requested that this issue be made an agenda item for this meeting, allowing the board an opportunity to consider options prior to voting on contract next month. They chose to deny this request, likely because they have no intention of considering the option.
This is a mistake. Our teachers deserve better. But I, for one, would vote to spend this money on 100 new teachers instead of overpaying them. Thank you.
My name is Erin Moonwalker. I live at 1147 Hillcrest Road. I have off and on for 37 years, and I am racist, just like everyone on the board and every other person in this room. As Ibram Kendi says, we have so many Americans drenched in racist ideas, and the racist ideas prevent them from knowing they are drenched, prevent them from knowing racist power is raining racist ideas on their heads. Like a dog pulling burrs from its fur, I will always have to be focused and persistent about plucking the racist views and ideas from my opinions and beliefs. I have to look for them. It is time for you to do the same. As the board has been warned, that there is rampant racism in this district, and good intentions got us to this place. Mr. Karpik, I appreciate that you are not a perfect human. Please take my words as coming from a fellow imperfect human. As our first person of color in decades took her seat on the board, I watched as you and Gillian didn't even look at her when she spoke. I watched as you mispronounced her name when you did use it. And today, data has been collected that visually demonstrates how she has been treated compared to her white peers. Am I to believe it is the express preference of all other board members that you address them as Mr., Mrs., or Dr.? In the last meeting, Rachel Witt, one of my fellow white women, interrupted Dr. Yin and accused her of not trusting Mr. Olhau when Dr. Yin was simply requesting a document that would help her do her job. Instead of correcting Rachel, you went along with this behavior. When another community member of color emailed a records request to clear up this confusion, he wound up having to consult with the public access counselor. Instead of someone apologizing for the oversight, releasing the records, or taking any ownership whatsoever, we had a district representative trying to block his request for public records at every turn. Then we had another board member, one of my fellow white mothers, taking to Facebook to tell us Facebook wasn't the place for important discussions. Did you really expect people of color to feel safe discussing these issues with me one-on-one when racism appears to be on full display? Why don't you know, as white people, how to create safe spaces for vulnerable populations? What did your DEI director have to say about these behaviors? And the other staff members you appointed to the DEI committee, did they reach out to you? You appointed a DEI director who was a school employee who made you feel comfortable, who certainly didn't stand in these meetings and challenge you to treat Dr. Vinn with more humility and sensitivity, as I thought a DEI director would. Please consider reconvening an inclusive DEI committee, but this time, don't just invite the people who say yes to you, invite the people who make you feel uncomfortable too. I'd like to thank our strong and proud Chinese American community for not giving up on us when we didn't protect them and for investing their hearts and thoughts in this district. They didn't deserve to be lectured by two very privileged members in their public comments. I promise that if we can't do better, we will vote in better. And I call on Rachel and Alan to publicly apologize to Dr. Yu. Thank you.
On to a regular organizational or future meetings, which will be January 10th, 2021 at 6:30 p.m., in addition to the two meetings that we discussed previously with respect to the hearing with the next, the contract hearing on December 13th and on December 20th as well. Need a motion for adjournment, please.
May I say something?
Yes.
And so I appreciate Dr. Spinger's detailed summary of the search process. I agree that all the board members attended all the search meetings up to November the 18th. However, I would like to clarify that I was not aware of the steps to be taken after the last discussion. In particular, the rejection of the one of the finalists, the offer to the other finalist, and the contract. Actually, when the contract was posted online for the public, it was the first time that I saw it myself. I wish all the board members were informed before those actions were taken. And to prepare the contract review, in fact, I had collected the superintendent salary data of Indiana. But when I heard about the contract was already extended to the candidate. So when I asked about it, I was told that only the board officers were involved in the process. So if I knew earlier, I would ask to participate in this contract development process as well, as I'm very concerned about our district financial situation. I understand that the officer actually are involved in this process, but I really wish there will be some clarity and transparency and provided beforehand.
Dr. Yin, I appreciate your comments. We've already discussed this topic with you, and you were in that meeting for the entire time, and there are six other board members here that, for whatever reason, feel differently. You must. So I don't know what else to tell you on that. As we stated before, Mr. Austin, you can attest to the fact that, again, all seven board members were there when this was clearly spelled out. So, again, I appreciate your comments. Again, I'd like to take another motion for adjournment.
No, I'd like to say something, please, in response to Dr. Yin. Over the weekend, I sent an email to all board members outlining the superintendent contract process that was discussed at the November 18th board meeting. And I compared it to the teacher contract, a process that we had just been through. With the teacher contract, it's the WLEA team, and then the board team, Ross Sloat, Steve Ohlhalt, two school board member representatives. The rest of the board didn't see the contract until after the teachers had ratified it. And then at the public hearing, the other board members were given the opportunity to express their opinions and ask questions about the contract. As I detailed in the email over the weekend, that same process applies to the superintendent contract. The lawyers, Ross Sloat, Steve Ohlhalt, three board officers, had input into the contract. The other board members saw it at the same time you did, Dr. Yin, and then at the public hearing next Monday, all board members will be given the opportunity to ask questions, state their opinion, and then it will be opened up to the public for their comments.
Yeah, I appreciated the email clarification, and the board members got that clarification after I asked the question. So. And probably, you know, partly because I'm the new board members and I'm not aware of some common practice by the board officers. I'm not kind of complaining about that right now. I just hope in the future, you know, more clarification can be given.
But I would
especially considering, you know, some of us are new and we don't know some of the common practice people are doing. Probably for you is, you know, it's given, but for me, it's surprising sometimes.
Thanks. You. But I would remind we have another board member that has been on board as long as you have, and seems to be able to find that other information out. So, again, I respect the fact that you can your comment, and we'll move on from there. Again, I need a motion for adjournment, please.
No moved.
Moved by Mrs. Austin.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for attending.